Okay, take a look at so in general, parshanut and parshas mishpatim and parshios such as these is a little bit difficult. All the sefer Vayikra and Devarim for that matter as well. To be honest with you, I have a much easier time myself with the biblical narrative than I do the halachic gemaras. Yet nonetheless, and I was even thinking about trying to do something like the Nasav and Ishma Pshatim is at the end of the parsha, which isn't the halachic elements, you know, which don't have halachic elements, but much more the narrative stuff. And there's even a major machlokes as to what takes place when, you know, why is Nasav and Ishma not in Hatsina, why is it after Mishpatim? You know, two Nasas afterwards, called Shadi Basham Nasah. There's a whole large topic about that, but I actually decided to do a Kiyiftach Ishbar Sugi. We'll do the Sugi of Bar. It's actually Pasuk Chaval, Pasuk Lam and Gimel, for two reasons why. Number one is because I read an unbelievable Yisober of Elchanan Samet that I want to share with you, which is really great. Yeah. So an unbelievable Yisober of Elchanan Samet, which is a tremendous, tremendous thing, which I really think is very, very helpful and insightful. As well as, although I'll be honest with you, I can't do this on every single Rashi, and I'm straightforward about it. The Rashis where I can do it, I think it's really a tremendous thing, and even though it's not my own idea, I read it somewhere, nonetheless, I think it's a, what's it called? It's a real great thing to be able to do, and even if I just expose one mind to it, who puts time and energy to it, and develops it more, it's a really worthwhile thing to do. In any event, when Sefer Shmos, Parshas Mishpatim, we're in the middle of the different Mazikin. We spoke about Shor HaMazik. If you look in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Parak Kafal, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, we switch from Shor to Bar. And the Torah says as follows, V'chiyiftach Ishbar, O Kiyichre Ishbar. A person either opens a bar or digs a bar. He digs a pit or he opens. Then I guess there are two ways of, you know, becoming the Baal HaBar and being responsible. Again, bar is one of the only two things in the world, halachically, which is not in your Rishus. And, yeah, the Torah stuck it in your Rishus along with Chameh. The fact that we learn Pesachim just brings things around full circle. V'lo yichasenu, you leave it uncovered. V'nafal shama shar archamar. And what falls inside? A shor or a chamor. If the shor and a chamor fall inside, what's the din? Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Baal haboy shalem kasef yashiv labala v'amesi elo. The din is, you have to pay for it. I guess you give the entire set of money to the baal and you keep the dead animal. Or either that or v'amesi elo means the, exactly who the v'amesi elo is referring to, the mazik of the nizak. We'll leave that question aside for a second. But okay, good. So the Gemara actually in Bava Kamma makes the following drush and the Rashi quotes. Oh, I'm sorry. Shor o chamor. You see that Rashi? Yeah. Last Rashi on the Pasuk. Alam Gimel. Shor o chamor. Hu hadin l'chol behema v'chaya. Shebechol mokam shenemar shor o chamor. Anu lom dino so shor. Shor mishav. Shenemar l'man yanuach shor chav chamor chav. Malahalam behema v'chaya. Kishor, sorry, never Malcolm Machia Vachob Emtacha, Avkan called Behema Vachaya Kishor. What's the first point that Rashi picks up with, quoting the Mechilta? When it says Shar or Chamar, what does it mean? Lav Davka. Any animal that falls into your pit, what's the din? Same din. And there's probably what to analyze on this Rashi. Laman yenuach sharcha v'chamar chama lahalon ko behema chayev kishar, so to hear, fine. V'lo nemar shar v'chamar, ela shar v'lo adam chamar v'lo kelim. Quoting the Gemara in Bava Kamma, and Daf Yud, Amud Beis, that why does it say shar and chamar? What does shar mean? Shar v'lo adam, chamar v'lo kelim. That if a person walks into the bar, what's the din? The balabar is? Potter. You're only chayav for a shar and a chamar. Shar velo adam, chamar velo kelim. Why does it say chamar? To teach me, I'm dafka chayav for a chamar and not kelim. So Rashi has 2 points. Number one, if it's lav dafka, well then why then mention dafka? The answer is to exclude what? Adam and kelim. And this sounds like a standard drasha. Now, most people, I assume, they would first hear about this drasha. We'll use the term high school kids because that's when you first start hearing about drushes in a real sense. You would ask, is that what the word shar means by kol tar kula? Every pasuk the Torah says shar, it means shar v'lo adam. Is that really true? Probably not. And every time it says chamor, it means chamor v'lo kelim. Is that really true? Probably not. And to be honest with you, there are other pesukim in Mishpatim, the same exact same parak, that seem to fundamentally disagree with what I just suggested. In other words, when the Torah talks about, let's just say, the Dalet Shomrim, it mentions shar and chamar and other types of things. It doesn't mean shar v'lo adam, chamar v'lo kelim. Shabbat Aveda mentions animals. No one makes the drasha of you only have to be meshiv animals, but not property. There are all sorts of situations in Chumash where it says shar, and we learn out shar and adam, or chamar and kelim. We don't make the drasha of shar v'lo adam, chamar v'lo kelim. And therefore my question is, Rashi / the Gemara Bava Kama, how did they know to interpret the pasuk in such a fashion? How did they know to exclude Kalim and Adam? So far, so good. Now, I'd like to make two suggestions. Each one I think has validity and merit, yet one I think is better than the other. I'll build toward the latter, which I think is even cooler. I shouldn't say better, it's cooler. I don't know which is better. It's cooler. The truth is, Misvara, I kind of understand it. And you know, a lot of drushes are not only textually based, they're based on Svara. What would the Svara be? If a, yeah?
Like a guy goes on the shore and the Kamor carries him.
I would say better. If a person walks into your bar, whose fault is it? Not yours, it's that guy's. If an animal walks in, what? It's your fault, because we don't expect animals to be as precautious, as careful. We don't expect animals to prevent walking into the bar, while we very much expect people to. And even stronger, Kalim, if my kli falls into, if an inanimate object falls into the bar and breaks, you know what? The bala bar, I should respond to the bala kli. The kli didn't walk in there itself. You must have, like, dropped it in there. I don't know what you did, but it's totally not my fault. I am totally responsible for Shor and Chamar, but for Adam and Kalim, there is a good svara to exclude them. So maybe one can argue, when it comes to something like Hashavas Haveda, there's no svara to say Shor v'lo Adam, Chamar v'lo Kalim. Of course you have to be Meshav Kalim. I don't know what it means to be Meshav an Adam, but Pidyon Shvuyim is by some separate thing. But in other words, here, in context, it does make a lot of sense. And you wonder how much the drushas triggered the svara, or the svara triggered the drushas. You wonder if Chazal said, hey, wait up, it doesn't make any sense for bar to be chayv on adam and kalim. Oh, look at that. Let's just learn out. There are two things that you're pater for, and there are two things in the pasuk. And they work backwards. Shar v'lo adam, chamar v'lo kalim. Maybe. Well, hang on one second. It could be that's how they got the drasha, or it could be they really thought somehow they found this drasha and then somehow came up with these particular things. But there is a lot of sense to be made. What I'd like to do in a minute is share with you Rabbi Elchanan Samet's insight, which I think is absolutely eye-opening. Momentarily we'll do it. Yeah, what's the question? Why is they dafka shor and chamar opposed to other animals? I'm not sure. I don't know. I hear that. I don't know.
Just know that why Adam and Kalim would be.
It could have said, I don't know, para and, I don't know what, Ave. Why is it Shar and Chamar? Maybe they're common animals. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't have any
and
answer
also,
to that.
And also, why are you comparing Shar to Adam or contrasting Shar to Adam and Chamar to
Kalim? That's a good question as well. We'll try to answer that as well. In other words, why learn Shar v'lo Adam? Why not learn out Shar v'lo Kalim, Chamar v'lo Adam?
Because a Chamar won't go by itself. You have to walk a Chamar, no? And a shore does go around by itself.
You think the Gemara says that or no?
The Gemara says like the shore carries like a
and a chamor carries kalim. Could be. Yeah. I guess I don't know.
Makes
the point right there. He quotes that Gemara. That's what the Gemara says. That shore carries an adam and chamor carries kalim. Let me look at that quickly. Sounds interesting. I guess I didn't notice that when I did it. Zach? Which oast are you looking at? Hey, Perish Kigon Shinaf al Babar Hamar Im Kalev and Iskarwa Kalev Kaival Behemoth Pater al Kalev? That's the thing describing the case. In other words, you're Pater on Kalev because.
The thing, the thing that's carried in the Kalev.
I'm not sure that's what it's saying over there. I would have just thought it's giving me the case of which you're Pater on Kalev. In other words, it's not the case if I threw the Kalev down in the thing, but even if I left it on the Behemoth, that's a bigger Kiddush, as I would have assumed, something like that. In any event, maybe there's something to what you said. I like to just look at the Parsha in general. Let's try to, if you have a Tanakh, I think it's a great thing to do because you get a feel for like the macro analysis opposed to the micro analysis. I'm saying if you look at the Parsha, we don't, no, you have to turn 20 pages. We're going to learn it, we're learning about, right now, we plan on learning about, I don't know, 15, 20 Pesukim. Let's try our best to put this together. You with me? Okay. Start from Perek Chaf Aleph. Let's start from Pasuk Chaf Ches. What? Let's try our best to categorize the Pesukim. What section starts at Pasuk Chaf Ches, and where does that section end?
Sure.
Yeah, it's definitely Shar. Okay, yeah. We'll leave it at that for now. We may have to sharpen it a little bit. A Shar that is Nagach, what?
People.
Okay.
Until Lamed Gimel.
Yeah, a Shor that is Nagach, and that goes until Lamed Beis. Yeah. Lamed Gimel starts a new topic, which is what?
Four.
Good, and that goes for how long? Lamed Gimel and Lamed Dalet. Lamed Hey again is what? Shor a second time. Then what's until Lamed Zion? What's Lamed Zion? Aganev and Baba Machteret. Okay. Next is Perek Chav Bet Pasuk Dalet, and what's that? Yeah, what's Ki Yaver Ish Sada O Kerem Shilech Es Habir? What's that referring to? Ubi Avesteach Her? It's not referring to Ish, that you'll see in a second at Pasuk Hey. What's Pasuk Dalet? Shein V'Regel. You ever learn Bava Kama? In other words, even though the Mishnah says there are four Avos Zikin, they're really six. You have Keren, Shein, and Regel, which are all under the subcategory of Shar. You have Bar, Eish and Adam Amazik. Those are really like the six. So we discussed already Shor twice, before and after Bor, which is already surprising, right? In other words, you have Shor, then you have Bar, then you have Shor again, which is seemingly out of order. Then we take a break, we talk about Ganav and Bab Machteret, which is nothing to do really about Nezikin. Then we return to Shein V'Regel, and then in Pasuk Hey, we talk about Eish. We talk about Eish Hamazik, and then Pasuk Vav until Pasuk Ches, the last three Pesukim in the section, we talk about what? Dalet Shomer. Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sah, the Shomer. And again, from Tesson on and from Yud Gimel on. And the basic question one would ask when just skimming these Pesukim would be what? What is up with this order? And the question could be asked on several levels. Level number one is, it seems to be totally arbitrary. But beyond that, they're actually different. Not only is it haphazard and random, that alone would be enough of a problem, but we broke up Shor into two different categories. Did you have to do that? And we surrounded it by putting Bor in the middle. What did you gain by that? And furthermore, we broke up the Mazikim from each other. You have Shor, Bar, Shor, break. Talk about Bab Machteret, talk about Aganiv, and then they come back with Shein V'Regel and Eishin with Dalet Shomer. And the real question is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite wisdom, had any type of rhyme or reason when he organized these Pesukim, it seems to be totally absent from where we are. Like, what is that? Is this not just a bunch of Mishka Babel, not just babbling about random halachas? Oh yeah, there's a little bit more I forgot to tell you. Pesukim and parshios like these trigger kofrim and academic not from people to believe like in the documentary hypothesis. Look at this, everything just haphazardly put together. There's really no rhyme or reason to it. A bunch of pesukim here, a bunch of pesukim there. One guy, you know, had the tradition about Shor this way. One guy had the tradition about Shor that way. And when Chumash was, I guess, collected and put together, the word they use is didacted. In other words, when they kind of put together Chumash, they just kind of like, you know, haphazardly took a bunch of this tradition, that tradition, this tradition, and of course it's totally in a arbitrary, haphazard, random order, and of course things are going to repeat itself and to be incomplete, and nothing will be complete because there was no author. It's a bunch of different scattered authors who put together a bunch of scattered psukim who was kind of combined together. And the truth is, you read these psukim, and if you were a kofer, you'd be like, here's a great raya. No? It seems to be totally arbitrary. Now the truth is, most examples of making Seder out of the arbitrary orders that we've had at first glance are not as easy as this particular maneuver and how I'm going to make it be. But classic methodology dictates that any time you ever have a halachic situation with two people involved, you should ask yourself, who is the spotlight on? I actually discussed this here today. For example, there's a mitzvah called Shalach Manas, to give get food and another person not to perform. So if let's say I walk over to Jonah and say, Jonah, I really like you. I want you to know, here's some milk, a glass of milk, and maybe an apple. And I was like, listen, I feel terrible, but I'm lactose intolerant. I'm allergic to apples. Thank you so much, Rabbi Horn, but no thanks. Was I yotze the mitzvah of Shalach Manas? So if he passes, what you say? No, it's actually a machlokas between the Ramah and the Pichadosh. And the way the Achronim explain it is the mitzvah that I should be giving it, or is it that Jonah should be receiving it? If I did my best to give it, it could be what? Hamyotze, even though he didn't actually receive it, because it's like as if he received it. I did as close as I could. Let's say, is it halacha called Marasai? This is Tuvia, so I was talking about during Shir today. What's the problem? You're in Shir now?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You're making like a blank face. What is the problem of Marasayan? Is the problem of Marasayan that, in other words, when you look at me, the problem is what you see, or is the problem what I do? And you're just almost like a barometer or a gauge to determine what it is that I'm doing wrong. Maybe Chadre Chadarim. If I'm in the most hidden inner chambers where no one can see me, one can argue that if the problem is that someone's going to see me, so Chadre Chadarim would be mutter. However, if the problem is that I'm mimicking an Avera or I'm involved in shady business, I'm doing things that look really incriminating, well, that could even be a problem of Chadre Chadarim in the most hidden, secluded area in the world. And that's actually Machlokas 2 days in the Ran and Beitz on Daf Test. Again, my point is not so much about these Lumbashah topics, but about the conceptual question, which is, if there are two people involved, who's actually being highlighted, who's the spotlight on? And the same type of question could be asked, Lagabe, us. How do I understand the dinim of Nezikin?
So the first part's talking about someone causing injury to someone, so first it's a shore and then a man.
Hang on one second. We'll just finish up my line of reasoning and then we'll get back to the text inside. How might one ask a similar question about the dinim of Nezikin? There are two ways of looking at the dinim of Nezikin. Model number one is
hurting someone or them getting hurt.
Exactly. How do I view Nezikin? Is it about me doing something wrong, me letting my animal run wild, me having to pay for being irresponsible, me having to pay because I was either poshe or because my property is damaged? Is it about the mazik paying, or is it about the financial loss that the nizak has taken? The fact that the nizak lost, the fact that your animal was damaged, the fact that your house was damaged, the fact that you had lost money, the fact that you're financially out of money. Is it the mazik? How do I view the dinim of nizik? Is it that the mazik has to pay, or is it that the nizak has to get paid? And that's a really important question. And there are probably all sorts of conceptual differences that can be exist. In other words, I had a great nafkamina in my mind before, but I don't remember it now. In any event, one can imagine, theoretically, whatever nafkamina would be, is it that I have to pay or is it that you have to get paid? It's a really important question. There is a chakira that they have by Nezikin, which really kind of captures, which is, what's the reason why I pay for Nezikin? Is it because I was poshaya, I was irresponsible, I did something wrong, and therefore Domus Batoras Onesh, I'm paying back? I was wrong, I did something bad, so I have to pay? Or is it that I did nothing wrong, however, you have to get paid back. And who's going to pay you back? The answer is, someone's got to. You didn't do anything wrong, you don't deserve to make that loss. And therefore, the best person to pay back is the mazik. Not because he did something wrong, not because he was irresponsible, but rather because He's the Bala Mamon. He's the one who is most responsible for such an event. You got that? I'll give you a quick nafkamina to the Shaila. In Lumbus, just to get a perspective on it, then we'll return back to the Chumash in a minute. There is a Sugyim Bava Kama and Daf Chav Zayin that says, I think I spoke about this when I went to Hank, actually. You remember. So good job. Put you on the spot. Also you. That says that there's a stira in the Gemara Bava Kama from Daf Chav Vav to Daf Chav Zayin. One Gemara says, it says, Adam Ur Leolam Ben Onis Ben Ratzim Ben Chogik Ben Bezit. That's the mission of Kabbalah. No matter what, an Adam Hamazik is always responsible. No such thing as onus by Adam. He's always responsible. However, the Gemara, and that's the end of the second parak. However, the first mission in the third parak says, that the Mazik can actually be putter if he kicks over the kad, or the chavis, and he damages the chavis, but he himself is damaged as well. That's the case. If I knock over the barrel, I can actually be potter. What's the case? Don't have to look where I'm going. So the Gemara has all sorts of akimtas. Maybe there are a bunch of barrels around the corner. Maybe it's at nighttime we're talking about. Maybe the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is full of barrels. Maybe there's no akimta, but I don't have to be careful. Whatever the case may be. There is such a case as Adam Hamazik, who is potter. But then the Mishnah just previously, Mamish, the Mishnah right before said, oh, the more Leola, Bein Onis, Bein Ratzon, Bein Chogin, Bein Mezi, Bein this, Bein that. So how do you answer that? Is he always Chayiv or is he not always Chayiv? Is there an exception to the rule? So Tosis right there in Maseches Bava Kama and Daf Chav Zayin writes the difference between Onis versus Onis Gamor. And then he proceeds to figure out, how do we know if it's Onis versus Onis Gamor? What level of Onis does it need to be out of the category of Onis into the new category of Onis Gamor? Because onus I'm putter for, but onus gomer I am chayav. That's Tosfos. Good? The Ramban has a different mahalach. The Ramban writes that the reason why the mazik, the other mazik is putter, is not because it's onus gomer. He's chayav on onus gomer. Says the Ramban, rather it's because the nizak was posheya. There's pshias hanizak over here. Steinmetz should not have left his barrels around the corner if he wanted them to be kept in a very safe place. Don't leave small little jugs at Rosh Hashanah Rabbim at nighttime because people are going to step on them. And there's actually Yerushalmi that has the following case in the Ramban and the Tosfos each interpreted the Shita Sam. If I lay down in bed next to a vase and I knock it over, I'm chayiv. If I lay down in bed in an empty bed and then someone puts the vase in afterwards, I'm potter. It says Tosfos because it's on his gumbo. Says the Ramban, no, it's because the Baal Havaz, the guy who owned the vase, or vase, depending how you say it, the guy who owned the clay, who owned the glass, put it down, he himself was being irresponsible. In other words, this Pshias Anisa, Rabbi Soloveitchik, was masbid, this machlokas, found the machlokas, Tosfos in the Ramban. He thought it was good for the Shaila. According to Tosfos, it's all about being posheya. When you're posheya, you're chayiv. You know when the greatest case of, you know what the antithesis to Pshia is? Onis Gomor. So of course Tosos thinks Onis Gomor, you are Pateran. According to the Ramban, it's not about Onis and Shia or anything. It's about the Nizak lost money, and therefore someone's got to pay him. Who's the most responsible? So if Shias HaNizak, it's Shias, but otherwise it's the Mazik. Well, my Nafkamina, besides, you know, just how to be Mazik in those cases, if let's say there's an old lady out in the street, lightning strikes the ground, and I go flying and bump into her, knock her down onto the floor, and break both her legs. According to Tosfos, I'm Pacher. Why? Onis Gomer. According to the Ramban, I'm Chayev. Why? Because there's no Pshias Anizak. There's no one else responsible. The question is it my irresponsibility, like Tosfos seems to hold? And if it's all about Pshia versus Onis Gomer, it's about the Mazik. The Ramban seems to have a different perspective, which is all about the Nizak. And therefore, we have a Nafkamina. In any event, if the focus is not on the mazik, but on the nizak, if the spotlight, if the Torah's emphasis is on the nizak, not the mazik, in halacha to machlokas rishonim, in the pshat over here, I think you have maybe a great riot to the Ramban. If that's really the MS, a lot's going to be answered up. Let's take a look. Back to Pesukim Chaf Ches through Lamed Beis. What is this all about?
Shor
damaging a?
Amen.
A man. Let's not focus on who's doing the damaging. Let's focus on who's being damaged. Adam. Take a look at Pesukim Lamed Gimel to Lamed Dalet. Boar is damaging who?
Man.
No? Animals. Who are the Nizak now? Animals. Take a look at the Pesukim Lamed Hay through Lamed Vav. Why do we repeat Shor again? Not because we care who is doing the damaging, but rather who is being damaged. And the point is that there are two different ideas. One is Shor who's being Mazik in Adam, and one is Shor being Mazik, another Shor. And the first thing, category one was about man being damaged. Now we're talking about animals being damaged, and we mentioned specifically Bar and Shor. Carrying on with that, what's mentioned in the Bav Machteret Geneva thing? Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Ki Yignav Ish what? Shor Oseh. B'tav Machro. What are we talking about over here? Stealing animals. Even the Pasuk Gimel. He might say Timata Biyadu HaGeneva Mishar Vad Ad Chamor Vad Seh Chaim Shnai Mishalem. We're talking about damaging what? Animals. Now let's take a look at Dalet until the end over here. Dalet through Vav as well as Zion through Ches. What's being damaged over here? Property. Ki Yivar Ish Sadeh Okerem Vishilach Nibir Bir Vistei Acher. Ki Teite Ish Mazah Kotzim V'Nachal Gadish Okama Sadeh Shalem Shalem V'Mamah V'Raz Nabeira. And again, the Dalet Shomim. Ki Yitin Ish Riyo Kesef Okelim Lishmar. Or in other words, there's a digression. We started off talking about people being damaged, then we progress and talk about, or digress, one step lower, animals being damaged, then we talk about what? Property or thing being damaged. And it could be if the Torah's emphasis on the Nezikin, it actually makes a lot of sense. The Mazik is there almost technically, because you want to know what Mazikim there are and who's what they're chayav on, sorry. However, essentially, the Seder HaDvarim over here seems to have a much stronger emphasis on the Nezikin, not on the Mazikin. On the Nizak, not on the Mazik. On what or who is being damaged and not who's doing the damage. You got that? If that's correct, a few things are answered. A, the order. B, I understand why Shor is split into two. And if you remember correctly, back to Bava Kama, Dav Beis, and Dav Gimel, the Gemara actually has a Havamin of Shor being Nagach as Adam versus Shor being Nagach as Ashar. And we're like, hey, they're two totally different things. I always remember being confused. Why are they two totally different things? Where did we get that from? And the answer is these psukim. Not for right now. But if this is correct, what is unbelievably helpful and insightful to how Chazal made the drasha in psukim and pasuk lamed gimel when Chazal said shar velo chamar? Sorry, not true. Shar velo adam chamar velo kalim. Why is it brilliant?
I don't know this is but shar is with the adam in terms of like getting damaged. I'm going to go switch it to property. It brings in the example of chamar.
Better. Because we're talking about this middle category. The first category was adam. The third category was property. Where is boar found in this list? First, second, or third? Second. Right in the middle. In other words, the boar context is talking about animals being damaged. You know what, Rush? You know where boar is not found? By people being damaged or by property being damaged. And it's not because the Torah technically wouldn't write it twice. The Torah would write it twice, Haraya. Shor being damaging, Shor damaging animals and Shor damaging people. So Ella what? The Gemara writes specifically Bar. Why? Because Bor, where does the Torah place Bor? In the context of animals being damaged. Why? Because there is no damaging, there is no Bor of damaging Adam or damaging Kalim. And I'll even sharpen this, Svara. It could be the reason why Chazal said Shor below Adam and Chamar below Kalim, opposed to reverse, opposed to saying Shor below Kalim and Chamar below Adam. Why is it Shor velo Adam and Chamar velo Kalim? It could be just because Shor came first. And the point is, Shor and not what took place before paragraph 2, i.e. paragraph 1. Shor and not Adam, and Chamar and not category 3, Chamar and not Kalim. When I read this by Rebbe Elchanan Salmon, I thought, wow. You read, and I was thinking to myself, because when I was in high school, most kids in my grade, there were two types of kids in my grade in high school. When the rabbis made drushes like these for us from the Gemara. Half who said, wow, I don't understand this at all. The Torah is stupid. And the other half who said, I'm far too frum to say that. But, and, you know, and therefore it must be a good drusha. The common denominator about both of these groups is that no one put any thought into understanding them. Some heard it and were completely dismissive. Some heard it and blindly accepted, but no one actually thought, maybe Chazal can, you know, made a little bit of sense when they made this drasha. Now it's true, I don't mean to deny the famous claim that we have lost the ability to darshan psukim. Absolutely. We have even lost the ability to understand most drushes that Chazal made. I think that's probably true as well. Yet, just because most of the drushes we're never going to know if we got it right, or even have insight, maybe, into, I think we have a responsibility to try. And I believe that it's a whole belt of Torah, a whole world of Torah that has yet to be properly written about. If you wanted to analyze how Chazal made drushes, there's very little written on it. The Tzar Tamima has a sefer, which is a good sefer. But there's in other words, if you wanted to understand how to interpret these four psukim, you got about 2,000 commentaries on Chumash. If you're looking how to interpret this following Gemara or Rambam, there's hundreds and hundreds of commentaries on the Gemara and Rambam in terms of the halachic elements to it. You open up a line of Shulchan Aruch, you got poskim, you know, no lack of poskim to describe how to interpret the Shulchan Aruch. When it comes to drushes, there's a paucity, there's a real scarcity of good stuff out there in terms of interpreting drushes. So number one is, there's a lot to be done. Number two is, I really believe, in addition to being in the insightfulness of this Rashi, I think this report from Rabbi Semin has sheds a lot of light on A, Rashi, and B, Chazal, which is really the same piece. It's also inspiring for two levels. Number one is because it gives you the belief you can interpret some of the drushes and really have a deep understanding of them, number one. And number two is, even if I'm never going to interpret another drush again in my life, which I'd be disappointed if that was your mindset, still, at least you, once, again, for people who are interested in believing in the Masorah, people who are interested in thinking Chazal knew what they were talking about, if you can get one or two or three of these drushes out, will you really see, you're exposed to the depth and textual perception that Chazal have. It enables one to say, well, if they got it right these two or three times, it was a blow-away shot. Even though I don't understand the other 2,000 of them, it allows you to intelligently have faith in the system. Again, ideally not blindly, but better that than no faith in the system. But I guess the real point is, A, let's have a nice mahalach in this Rashi, B, mahalach in the Psukim, and C, a little bit of inspiration towards thinking about and analyzing and developing new theories and ideas how to understand drushes properly. Yeah.
Two things. What was the, you said like I can even sharpen this, what was that?
Why was Shar below Adam, specifically Adam, and Chamar and no Kalim? It could be because Shar appears first in the Pasuk and Chamar appears second. Since Shar precedes it, Shar is going to exclude category one while Chamar will exclude category three. In other words, each Pasuk is excluding the category that is closest to it.
And what about Machkeres? That's
yeah. What's that doing there? It's a good question.
Of each sure, sir.
That was it's talking about a person stealing or right, damaging right. Whatever it is. The animals.
That's Lama Zion.
The animals. In other words, it doesn't mention any property that you damage. It doesn't mention any people that you damage.
Yeah, and then Machkeres is definitely,
I mean, no, the guy who goes to Machperet is the guy who goes in. That's the Mazik. Exactly. We're talking about the animals that you damage in it, which fits perfectly into our structure. Now, one could ask if a person, and again, this is not a complete product. There's a lot more to be done on this. In other words, why did Chazal make that drasha by Bor and not make the drasha by Sharbing, by Machperet? I don't know. Maybe one could have made the drasha of Shane Varegel, that if your animal tramples over a person or tramples over another animal, you should be putter as well because it's in the third section. Again, I'm not sure the answer, although it may somehow link back to the original svar I suggested, which is not only is Shar v'lo Adam, Chamar v'lo Kalim a drasha, but we started off the first point we made was there is a lot of logic to it. It does make a lot of sense, actually. There is a good rhyme or reason why Adam and Kalim would be putter because Adam is too aware and Caleb is too unaware to have, you know, be, to hold accountable the Balabar for the Nizikin. Rinsa Shem will pick up next week.